And is the Windy City windy tonight?
Yeah, it was. It's kind of funny.
Hi, this is producer and composer Nelson Monte.
Yesterday, to snow showers, everything's thick and it's plummeting. I think we're expecting around 10 tomorrow.
Ah, so you never get bored with the weather.
Yeah, it really changes fast, right? I'm right on the lake, so it's a little different. I can get a half an inch here, and they'll get 10 inches in the burp. So it's a blessing in the...
BBSRadio.com, the number one internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Spider Turner, and you can buy my music at CDBaby.com. Pick me up. Check me out. Ah, yeah. BBSRadio.com.
Great. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome. Good to have you tonight.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else who's doing this? I'd like to give their name and locations.
Dom sounds a little tired.
Hi. Welcome to the Wednesday night call.
No. How much is it worth?
Hello.
A lot of people joining us. Welcome to Wednesday night's call. If you have a chance, feel free to give your names and locations.
Yes,
good evening. Francis calling from Concord, California.
I heard Francis from Concord, California. Welcome. Anyone else? I think two or three people were speaking at the same time there.
Yeah, Steve from Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve. A lot of people
Ron
joining
from
us.
Mountain Grove.
Hi, Ron. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, and you?
Good, thank you. And other people have joined us. If you have a chance, feel free to give your names and locations, please.
Hi, this is Edna.
Hi, Edna. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. And is team shift flowing well?
Yeah, very well.
Excellent.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. We're doing up here in the Midwest, but we're used to freezing is a dirty job, but somebody's got to volunteer to do it.
What's the coldest temperature?
It was nearly 65 yesterday, but the Chicago weatherman said in 3 days it'll be a low of 3 degrees. Ooh. Well, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to give your name and location, please?
Oh, hi. It's Colleen in Vancouver.
Hi, Colleen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Is Vancouver icy cold, or are you guys still kind of balmy in the 30s?
It's kind of... Oh, I've got to convert it. It's about 8 degrees Celsius, so, around 40s.
No, okay. Glad you converted that. Being from the Indiana cornfields, I have no idea what 8 degrees Celsius is like. Marilyn, you're laughing.
They tried to push that on us in the 70s. It didn't take.
No.
Thank God we all said no.
Yeah. Somebody else has joined it.
We just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow learners.
Well, I don't see the point in it anyway.
Say again?
I don't see the point in it anyway.
Ah, think of the young people.
Not when you look at sacred math. No.
And if other people have joined us and you haven't yet identified yourselves, please feel free to step in, give your name and locations.
Can you hear me, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Wynn. How are you?
Hi.
Heiss is out with the boys playing indoor soccer. He will join as soon as he can when he gets home.
All right.
So Marilyn and I have just kind of entertained the troops with our stand-up comedian routines.
Did someone say that secret
speak for yourself.
Hang on, I'm just going to get on.
Yeah, a lot of mathematical equations when you look at it when it comes to that is based on, and you can follow the work of David Wilcock on that. He covers a lot of that. I'm sure he wants to mind
him. He talks about it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's
that all predates the festival. I mean, whatever that system, I can't think of it right now.
Can you hear me now?
That makes sense.
Yep. Yep, we can hear you.
Look into the Shift of Ages or the Science of Oneness on his website. You'll be able to find that.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Is this clear?
No.
It's kind of an echo to me.
Wait a second.
Sounds like you're in an RV somewhere.
is this clear now?
That's better.
Better.
That's better.
Yeah, okay. It's doable.
Okay, hang on. Now, is this clear?
It sounds good.
Is this better?
Yes.
Really good. Yeah.
I can hear you now.
All right. Now I'm on Skype. All right. Is Terry on?
Haven't heard her.
Yes, I'm here.
There she is.
Yes.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
That is Marilyn.
It is.
Where are you out of Marilyn? You're always here.
Marilyn is in Michigan.
Otherwise known as Michigan and Marilyn.
Yeah.
Grand Rapids is an awesome city. I go up there quite a bit.
I don't
except
know where
I'm north of Detroit. I'm between Detroit and
Birmingham.
We're meeting everybody.
Muted.
Checking off the dings.
Are you going to start the recording then,
Wayne? That's a good idea. Let me just make sure. Before I start, I just want to see if any last-minute questions came in. Just a moment. Hang on. Hello to everybody on EDS. Meryl, I got your question. I already had it on.
Are you still there, Wiz?
I'm still here. Just one moment. Just one moment. I've gotten so used to the spaces that I show up. There we are. I don't have to do anything. I'll just be in the space. All right. Now I'm going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Hello, this is Winfrey. This is Wednesday, January 30th, 2013. Geez, I got it all right. And this is our Wednesday call where we ask questions and get answers from our sources. And as I often preamble, these are not meant to be taken blindly or believed blindly or repeated as if it's true. These are things that, in the best case scenario, there's wisdom that will help trigger you into seeing things in a higher way or making a better connection with the energies of these sources rather than having something for you to say and repeat and say, Wind said this, or they said this, or Ra said this, or the Elohim said that. When, you know, channeling is an imprecise, how would we say it? Imprecise dynamic where it's possible for there to be bleed through from the person who is channeling, bleed through from their conscious mind. And it's even possible for a negative source to come in and grab the line and give wrong information. And that's something I learned in the Carla Ruckert material, and mentioning that we're going to do another Law of One Part 2 workshop Saturday, Carla and myself. So if you enjoyed Part 1, we're going to be continuing. And I called it the raw material for dubbies, but we've renamed it the raw material made simple. So we'll take some of the really sophisticated, hard to understand concepts and translate them in a way that easy to understand and apply. And Carla and I seem to be good at that when we do it together. So we're doing tonight with Terry, and Daphne will probably be back next week. And we're never ready, so we'll start. You're not ready, are you, Terry?
Terry, no.
You're not.
I'm double not ready. I'm mute.
I was going to say, are you unmuted?
Yeah, finally.
Right.
I never know what they're going to say, so there's nothing to prepare. So I'm just.
You know, you're a little further from the microphone. I think you're not too clear.
Is this better?
Much better. Okay.
Okay. Good. Microphone was on my head.
All right. That explains it. Okay.
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, each person listening to the replays, each person listening on the internet, and each person listening to the telephone replay, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Okay, our first question tonight is from Rick in Iowa City. It's interesting, we have two questions about, let me see, dreams. have you ever noticed how we get questions about the same topic, but it changes from week to week? Rick asks, when I see someone in a dream who is alive in the physical, is it really them? And if it is, do they know they were in my dream, if not consciously, but on some level? And that's from Rick in Iowa City.
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. This is brought on And this is the 30th January 2013 from the location of Sedona, Arizona, and also beaming in from the location of the higher realms, and then diffusing and over the earth plane and connecting with each and every person on the line who wishes to be connected with. And we thank Rick for his question, and we then move into the area of dreams. And when someone is in your dream, is that the other person being in your dream? It is not necessarily the other person being in your dream, the person himself, or even from an unconscious level, the person him or herself. However, it is a representative of that person. It may be that you yourself are accessing or making up the image as a representation of a figure that you will gain knowledge by interaction with. And it can be something that can instruct you, can give you valuable life lessons, working out on a play acting arena in the ethers, to give you valuable lessons that further your growth experience. It can actually be also someone that it is actually that being coming into your space. So there is a lot of leeway here, a lot of latitude on creativity in the dream state. So it isn't necessarily that individual coming into your dream. However, it may be someone coming into your dream that is actually there, and you are both sharing the experience. There can be shared dreams. There are some cultures where when they wish to have further knowledge on something, they dream together and they have a group dream. There are lessons within the dream arena that help give a person much needed experience they are looking for, and much like a play acting role which they are creating, and which the forces in connection with that soul learning experience come in and lend their energy to. It may be the actual person, but then again, it may be a total creation of the person doing the dreaming. When this happens, there is some frequency that is connected to the real person. However, it does not mean that the real person is there also in the dream.
Thank you. Edna in Snohomish, Washington, asks, she got up in the middle of the night and believed she was having a conversation with the higher sources, perhaps the Elohim. And she heard them say that Colleen in Vancouver, Canada, was her mother in a previous life in third dimension. I would like to ask the sources to comment on this conversation. Was it real, and is it true? And Colleen and she have a wonderful friendship, and she feels that Colleen kind of looks over her as if she would be her daughter. So, thank you.
Thank you. There is some past relationship. However, since it involves so closely another person, did we wish to allow the two of you to explore the relationship further and to work it out and to bring it through into your own memories? But there is definitely a past life-curing relationship.
Thank you. I would like to ask a question, and it has to do with understanding the grid work from source into this planet, where we've learned, and I believe this is to be true, that certain areas of energy fields have been taken over by the negative, and that when we do our grid healing, it's not like we permanently change something, but we change it for the moment because the negative is still doing what they do. And so it snaps back when they have a strong control in a particular area. Well, there are people who believe that these grids, that the negative has lost control of them. And I wanted to have some comment on that, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the negative is a very general term, and we do not see that the negative is a catch-all phrase that could apply, because there are so many other things that apply at the same time. For instance, the grids around Australia and New Zealand have been weakened by anomalies in the magnetic field over that area, and those are related to the relationship between the Earth and the Sun, and between that and the rest of the solar system, and between its travels in the galaxy. So there are other influences, star influences, astrological influences that could be considered negative, because the energy coming in at the time from those star systems are of a reverse energy type of configuration, and the individuals in some ways are getting growth from the experience in learning that the soul is senior to the star configurations and to the astrological influences. It is looking to make individuals stronger. So when you use a catch-all phrase of negative, there are so many influences within that category that even at the bottom of it, for instance, in the star systems creating intense pulls like the moon at certain periods of the full moon, that then go to help provide growth lessons for the individuals. Here, is that considered negative, or is that considered not negative, but it could be considered as a negative influence? If you we look further, if you have any further information concerning specifically what you mean by negative, we suggest that this might be a good venue to look into
isolate more information about what you are looking at concerning the grid systems. Now, there are other things concerning grid systems and that are influenced by things like HARP that are kind of a dumbed-down influence that it is shunted off and doesn't have full influence, but it can make an anomaly in the Earth's field, which wouldn't have been there except for the presence of HARP. This could be beneficial, or it might have untoward influences that the individual joining HARP does not know of, and then may consider to have negative influences. So it could be both positive and negative. Do you have further comments on that?
Well, I was thinking particularly in negative intelligence, reptilians, grays. I would assume that there's a service to self intelligence that would want to have some kind of foothold in the energy fields. And I was particularly thinking of that.
Thank you. We also look at the reptilians and the grays and any influences that they might have of a localized level and of a muted, dumbed-down, localized level influence. Is the influence extends not only from anything technologically that they might extend out, but it extends to their own thought systems, which act as a bubble of energy within various systems. And these individuals do have their own sphere, their own frequency, which they tend to apply in a localized manner. We see that whatever they impinge is not the master impingement, or is not nearly as great as the relationship of the solar system and the Earth and the Sun to its neighboring stars, to the center of the galaxy, to the influence astrologically of and positions of these stellar bodies in relationship to the Earth. So each of these, as does the consciousness of the individuals on Earth, the consensus reality has their own bubble of influence, but it is generally, although from your standpoint it would be considered large, from our standpoint it is considered small, almost too insignificant in relationship to the whole. And individuals, when they can break through this and maintain their own stellar, burning, beautiful, blazing star light within their own self, can transcend all of this.
Thank you. So if someone is working on the grids, focusing on it, or if two people are working together, they can have a significant impact. Is that possible?
They can, again, at various levels, depending upon the frequencies of the people and their awareness. They can, and for instance, as a group, have a significant influence. This may even make some permanent shift and change, because all is intelligent and all is picking up, even the grid systems are picking up intentions, and if it resonates in a way that could create a permanent change, then this is possible.
Thank you. I have a question from Vicky. I'll leave her last name off. I don't have her location. It's kind of probably a generic question, and I hope if she needs a specific answer, she might send it in again with her location. if you can't tune in. Why is it that no matter what I have done all my life, even if the odds are all on my side, at the last second, it turns out to be a disaster? Is this a subconscious? I'm adding this. The question is really, why is that happening, and is it some kind of subconscious sabotage?
Thank you. Well, we would suggest that you take a look at your life and reevaluate, because there are successes along the way. The fact that you were born, the fact that you are alive, the fact that you are breathing air day to day. This is a success in itself, and you are here to grow and learn lessons. And we suggest that one of the lessons that you are attempting to learn is how to break through barriers, how to let yourself go, how to accept love, how to accept success, and how to know, even if it is little in the beginning, with little steps and little things, that there are successes that you have every day. If you observe yourself, if you observe little successes that you have in eating food and breathing and movement, and give yourself some credit. And we suggest that the viewpoint that you have, that the things that you have turned into disasters, is the setting of a paradigm that encloses you in a box that it makes it hard to step out of and to move into an area of success. And as we speak about this, we see beyond this barrier great success, little success, medium success, successes, and it depends on how well you could accept this success. We send you the idea of success, and we see it as concept. We see it as creating a space for success to be there. We see it as allowing yourself to love yourself, to bring the joys of succeeding to yourself, and first of all, to grasp the concept that that is possible, and then you will be able to bring it in.
Thank you. Anna in Burbank, when she closes her eyes and meditates, she sees pink, and also, she sees green, yellow, and orange. She'd like to know, what do those colors represent?
Thank you. As you meditate, your chakras are vibrating. Pink is our color, in that we are able to be brought into your space, and that will generate the color of pink. You are very sensitive. See these colors. The color of the heart chakra is green, and the color of the assimilation chakra or the power chakra would be yellow, and then the color of the chakra below that would be of an orange, and then the color of the grounding chakra would be red. So you are viewing the colors of these chakras and vibrating them, and then you might also get into the throat chakra at some point, which is blue, the chakra in the area of the head, which is indigo, and the area of the crown chakra, which is white.
Thank you. This is from Susan Smith, and she asks, is it possible that in this, I think it's Susan Smith, But this is a general question. Is it possible that in this time of bringing the dark elements into the light of awareness, we are bringing the dark conditions of our ancestral DNA, which may have played out down the line into manifestation now, to be overcome in this time of great power? Might that account for some of the discouraging conditions many of us are challenged with these days?
Yes, that is true. And the son, the sins of the father are visited upon the sons. Is as the individual is growing up, they are sitting in the energy that the parents are generating, or the people bringing them up are generating, and this then is imbibed or duplicated by the individual, and also in the genetic line as it comes through. Even if the individual was raised by a different party, this comes in from the genetic line. And it is written in the DNA, and it depends upon the strength of the individual that the individual can, if it is manifesting within their life, can simply view it and simply let it go as not being theirs. Although, if they have chosen that line to come in through, they probably have some elements of that distortion within their own field, and this is an area that they are choosing to come in to grow within, to heal and to cure. Some people have a very hard time getting past this or around it because it is an influence that is so subconscious, because it has been lived with the individual's whole life, that it is hard to even recognize that one has pattern. But you're entirely correct that this is an area where individuals, both genetically and from their upbringing and training, bring in distortions from the genetic line. And once they clear it in their own space, then should they have children at that point, if it is cleared sufficiently, they can avoid to a large degree passing it on, but by recognizing this and clearing it, it clears it from their field, it clears it at a very deep level, and can, if they can do, make the energy and space available to clear it from their DNA, then they have a fresh start. They can reset their whole genetic history of distortion. It is sort of hard to get to that point for many people, because the first step is recognizing that it is there to be cleared. As individual family lines hold on to such information as being true and grounding that family line in their life and utilization of information or distortions and incorporate it so hard into their lives that it is hard to even recognize it is there, and you have to recognize it's there before you can clear it.
Thank you. If a person is like looking for these patterns, what would they look for to be able to say, that's it?
They can look for things that make them uncomfortable, situations that make them uncomfortable, review back to times that they have had uncomfortableness or disharmony with their parents, and see that where they have had disagreements with their parents, is there something within their parents' connection with the parents' life that they're finding objection to? And oftentimes when somebody finds objection to something, it is because they also have that going in themselves, and they don't really like it that much. So observation is a big tool in finding out areas of distortions which are available or possible to be cleared.
Thank you. Let's see here. This is from, let's see. God, I better get the person's name. There's a question that came up a couple of weeks ago that we didn't ask, and that was, how does the evolution of what happens to Earth during this shift affect the rest of the universe?
Thank you. It is all one, and that is why there is the effect of the astrological upon Earth and upon the people of Earth and upon the animals. No one is separate from it. It is all one. And so when the Earth is in the field, in the field of the star system, which it is all sun of different configurations of planets, then it is subject two ways. There is the influence of Earth upon the astrological, bodies in space, and there is a influence upon the bodies in space upon Earth. It is a two-way street. Would you repeat the question one more time?
How does the evolution of our planet, the positive evolution or the negative evolution, impact the rest of the universe? In other words, to give an example, I've understood that the Pleiadians have a vested interest in a positive outcome on this shift because they have energy extensions into our planet. That's a group, a civilization. So could we understand this in a better, more encompassing way?
Thank you. There is more than one realm, and the different densities are all located at one way of looking at it, at one understanding, all in the same space at the same time, although there are different spaces that have been created, so that if an atomic bomb, say, for an example of large disturbance goes off, and then it affects the energies of all of the spirits of the watching over spirits of Earth, and it affects their light bodies, their ability to survive in the astral, and so if the Earth has something like an energy release of that magnitude, it can disrupt life that in realms that one does not even know exist. And is the influence of Earth, the individuals, the consensus reality, the Earth itself, has a gravitational effect upon others and around the surroundings, and the pull, push and pull, the energy synchronization between the different planets, the individuals in the consensus reality, their influence at the lower level stops or fades and becomes less as you move away from the bubble within which the consensus reality is contained around the Earth. The Earth itself has a bigger influence that goes farther, and there are rivulets and channels of energy that flow between the Sun and the Earth, and between the Earth and other planets to a lesser degree as you get farther away. So Earth itself has an effect upon the other planets, just as the other planets have an effect upon Earth. Earth is not a major influence, however, it is not the center of things. There are many centers of things, and as you move away from Earth, there is less influence being brought to bear on other bodies and systems. That is our answer.
Kim in Florida asks, what does the role of an open heart have with respect to the health of the body? It's a good question, because we know there's people that have open hearts that don't seem to have good health. So could we have a little bit of understanding on that? Thank you.
Hey, thank you. A true open heart, where one is vulnerable and one is open, and we say that it is living in the earth realm, one needs to protect oneself if one is in an area that is unsafe. In a way that there are vibrations that are negative, one needs to be able to protect oneself and to not have an open heart in a safe situation that requires fear, because all of the energy then is pulled within the body and is rallied with the adrenals to be able to respond. So the body is has a series of chemicals that play upon the scene of what is required and appropriate at the time, and interact and interface with their environment. If one attempts to have an open heart in a situation where it is not conducive to an open heart, then they have to really, really be open so that they don't have all of their endocrine systems jamming and conflicting with each other. It's like, okay, I've got to keep my heart open, and this person's being really nasty, and I got to keep my heart open anyway. And and then you can burn up energy. So one needs to be able to move in their emotional system and to not be fixed. It is when one gets frozen in one man or another, frozen with unreleased anger, yet trying to have an open heart and be cheery and everything, and yet underneath they're kind of pissed off and they're trying to sit on their emotions, then their body freezes and their digestive system doesn't work quite well, and their whole system is kind of in conflict and not acting as a whole, and then they can pick up diseases which have to do with the lack of flow of energy through the body. The body has to be in a consistent mode to be able to interact and flow and work together. Sometimes many people that are
extremely nice and trying very hard to have an open heart might have shutdowns in their system and a flow of energy and digestive problems or the burning up of their adrenals and then get tired, no energy in their body's attempt to handle the negativity. So to have a true open heart, it isn't to say that in those situations one can have an open heart, because if they get to a very high level without having shutdowns and can be at a very high level, like some of the masters, then they can still have an open heart without their body shutting down and reacting to negativity in the environment. So we hope we've given you some information here that will help.
Thank you. We had somebody from with an email address, emolecular, but they didn't put their name. Let's try the question. I've been having the experience of time really speeding up and flying by me like never before, and feeling even less able to utilize it properly, at least since 2010, if not even before that. I'm left wondering if I should ask for a bit of slowdown, or if this is really a good thing, or a reflection or side effect of something that is good and needed, and if so, what?
Thank you. You can have some control over the flow of speed of time. It takes a little bit of a working with it and experimenting with to be able to learn how to do this. But when one moves into the higher realms, time goes in relationship to your realm, goes very quickly. In our realm, time just seems normal, but when we get into your realm, time seems very, very slow. So if you get into our realm, you may experience the speed up of time. You may use this to get more done in a short amount of time, but if it is too fast for you, then you can ask for a slowdown of time to the point where it is comfortable for you. One of the reasons for having a slower speed of time in your realm, it gives individuals more time to relax and work with things and to be able to ground themselves. That is our answer.
Thank you. You know what? We're going to close our sessions tonight, and I don't think Carl is here. And stay tuned. We'll be doing that probably again, but you never know. And let me unmute everybody.
Unmuted.
You're all unmuted, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you,
Lynn.
Well, thank you.
You're
welcome.
Thank you.
Love to you all.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome. And I know you asked a question, Edna, but I have no idea what it was.
Did I hear someone say, hey, Wynn?
Yeah, I was wondering, how do we submit questions for these Wednesday calls?
Are you getting emails from us?
Yeah, but I haven't checked them lately.
Well, on the email that announces the Rosemary call, you can submit a question.
I can barely hear you.